Hello and welcome to Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures. I am Jason Excellent Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson, and I am so proud of Jason because this is the first Excellent Adventure we've started where you haven't pulled up the previous file to see how we start the show.
Oh, really?
You did so good.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so proud of you.
I don't remember how we start these shows every time. I forget.
It's because there's a while between recordings.
Well, it's a month.
I think the release schedule suggests.
Well, also, you know, a lot of people, we did a big deep dive into the business of our lives and stuff like that. And, this is a rougher show.
Yeah.
We can be
rougher.
It's
a looser show.
It's a looser show.
Yeah.
Think about yourself. You're listening to this podcast right now. You're sitting in the bathtub.
Ooh.
You have your,
I'm so flattered.
You have your wine glass filled with root beer. Your bath bomb's going out.
Goddamn right.
You know, rubber ducky in your left hand, and we're there with you. And
hoping you live your best life.
Welcome. Don't splash the phone.
No.
Or whatever you're listening to.
Put the phone on the toilet at least. Put it away from you.
Yeah. I mean, don't electrocute yourself.
No.
No.
That'd be horrible.
You know.
Died listening to Geek History Lesson spinoff podcast.
Hey, there's worse ways to go.
Sure.
Ashley, we're in the midst of, I'm going to call, a fever, a black fever, a panther fever, Black Panther.
Yes.
Black Panther is about to slap us across the face with how cool he is.
Yeah, how beautiful and ageless he is.
We're probably going to get scratched by his claws.
Ow. Made of vibranium, you know.
You know, one of my favorite things about superhero movies is the fact that they all have some sort of Easter egg, right? So even the MCU is very prevalent about this. Like, I think the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is pretty damn good about Easter eggs in their movies. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be fun to, like, talk about some of our favorite movie Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be comic books. They're just going to be the best ones, I think. And, like, kind of, like, any memories you have or anything you think about, or, like, I want to hear, like, your story about seeing the movie or something like that. Like, let's go deep dive. No, you in the bathtub, don't dive deep.
No, don't.
You won't be able to hear us, and then you'll drown.
Unless you have those really cool earbuds that are for swimming, and they're Bluetooth.
Are you serious?
They are $79.99 on Amazon, and I want a pair so bad.
Really?
Yes. You can swim with them.
I'd be afraid you'd get electrocuted.
Well,
how do you not get electrocuted with
They're coated in, like, silicone.
I don't care.
I just think they're amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
You're
on my Amazon wish list.
I wonder, you know, because Bluetooth, you know, you can't be that far away from the phone.
You know, your pool's only 25 meters.
Well, I mean, sometimes I'm walking around, you know, the apartment and I'm like 10 feet away from my phone.
Just got a brand new phone.
And my old phone was that way. Like, it was like, oh, I can't find your phone.
Well, then maybe I'll just have to have you run alongside me as I swim.
You have to pay me a lot of money. That's a Patreon level that we don't have.
Well, we'll get there.
You know, one comic book Easter egg that really pops out to my head is an old one.
Okay.
And that is in Batman Forever in 1995, the Val Kilmer movie.
I've not seen this movie.
Ever?
No, I've seen one of that. I've seen the 89 Batman, and then I didn't see another Batman movie until Begins.
Oh, my God.
I have so many toys from it, though. And, like, I had the crappy McDonald's cups that they had.
Those weren't crappy. They were great. The plastic cups?
No. Maybe in Canada, they were glass.
Well, they also had plastic cups. Every Batman movie had McDonald's plastic cups.
We had, like, glass ones for Mr. Freeze.
Okay. That's Batman and Robin.
Oh, shit.
That's not Batman Forever.
Shit. Well, that's the only thing I know about those movies, so...
You're already off, Ashley.
No, nope. I remember there's a dope Robin one, though, and they sell them on eBay now for, like, $50.
The best thing
I was going to buy it.
The best thing about Batman and Robin is that Robin wears Nightwing's costume.
Yeah. All right, tell me about the Easter egg.
Okay, so Batman Forever stars Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Because Batman and Robin stars George Clooney.
Before he looked like a sausage.
Yep. Before MacGruber. And there's a scene where... after Chris O'Donnell, Dick Grayson's parents have died.
Yes.
He invites Chris O'Donnell over to the mansion. He's going to take care of him. To make out. And just take care of this boy who somehow...
But he's like 25, right?
I mean,
he's not a boy.
Oh, he's like 25. Okay. And I don't actually know why he needs a legal guardian, but apparently he does.
Maybe he's special.
So he has to be a ward of Bruce Wayne for some reason, for some criminal...
Sure.
They never explain it.
Oh, maybe he's like Britney Spears because she's under guardianship of her father. Because that way she can't get sued.
Sure. I don't know. Anyways, I want to get to the Easter egg.
Nope.
So Chris O'Donnell shows up.
Yeah.
And... he waits for Commissioner Gordon to leave,
uh-huh.
and then he goes, no offense, Brucey, but I'm going to leave, and he starts getting ready to go, and Val Kilmer, Batman, Bruce Wayne, says, where are you going to go? The circus must be halfway to Metropolis by now.
Oh, that's cool. That's and, a good one.
Yeah, and
that's
that,
a good one.
And that's one of the very first Easter eggs that I ever remember being conscious of in a movie. And to be honest with you, even though those movies never connected to Superman, and they do a really bad Superman joke in Batman and Robin, like, this is the reason why Superman doesn't have a partner.
Yeah.
After Robin says, chicks dig the car, and I want to punch Robin in the face, even though I love Robin. But the Metropolis thing was so awesome. And as a kid, I was like, oh my God, they're in the same universe. What? So yeah, that's so like whenever I think about comic book movie Easter eggs, mm-hmm. that for that to me, because I think it's the youngest one, is this the one that pops into my head first off. So when I say comic book Easter egg to you, movie Easter egg, what's the first one that pops in your head?
The first one that always pops in my head is actually a really recent one. It's from Captain America: Civil War.
Okay.
Where I don't know the character's name, but that like crummy Hydra agent is like they're torturing him on the roof, or they're interrogating him on
that's
the roof.
That's Winter Soldier.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You said Civil War.
Oh, well, I meant Winter Soldier. sorry.
I believe if I'm going for the movie string that I think you're going
for. And he's like, blah, 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 and Stephen Strange. And that was, I think, before the Doctor Strange film was announced.
Yes.
And I remember that because you and I saw that movie together and we were like hitting each other
mm-hmm.
when he said that. And a bunch of people in the theater freaked out. And that's the one that stands out to me because it's the one that I remember like so many people having this visceral reaction to. In the way that
character does have a name.
I just don't care.
I'm going to figure it out.
Is what it comes down to. I also remember seeing Captain America, the First Avenger. I was living in New York going to school. Mm. I went to see it at a midnight screening with a bunch of people who I don't know if they'd seen any MCU movies before. And when the Loki reveal comes at the end of that movie, the Tesseract reveal, mm-hmm. I was very excited and nobody else was excited.
Oh.
And I remember being like, I just can't be bothered to explain this to you right
Agent
now.
Agent Sitwell.
Yeah, that guy. He's a butthead.
Yep, because he's also in Thor. He's in a bunch of the early ones.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, he's the actor is fine and everything, but that one stands out to
it's
me.
It's a pretty recent one.
Yeah. I also, I don't know if this is supposed to be an Easter egg, but I just took it as an Easter egg, but I remember seeing The Dark Knight Rises,
yeah.
and I loved it when they were drawing the Batman symbol everywhere, because I was like, it's like no man's land!
Oh, yeah, that was definitely intentional. That was intentional.
And I feel like nobody, I don't know if it was supposed to be like a huge call out, but I really dug that, and then I was like,
tagging the territory.
Yeah, and then it's sort of like, they didn't really do No Man's Land.
No, they didn't.
So, you know. Are there any more recent ones that stick out to you? Because yours is a real old school one.
Recent ones. Oh, that's interesting. Because I have a lot of old school ones. Like, there's the, in Iron Man 1 and 2, you see Cap's shield in the background.
Yeah.
Which is weird, even though, because that was before Captain America the First Avenger, and Cap has a shield.
Yes.
So, like, you have to go, like, oh, so is Howard Stark
just making them for funsies?
Well, yes, yeah. Howard Stark trying to rebuild, but you can see it. It's in two distinct scenes mm-hmm. in Iron Man 1 and 2. You can see there's a version of Cap's shield back there.
I liked the Donald Blake Easter egg in Thor. I thought that was fun.
Oh, the idea. And, yeah. and that was Jane's old boyfriend.
Yeah, I thought that was like a cute way to incorporate, to nod to that, but mm-hmm. not, because Donald Blake is a dumb idea.
Yes.
Oh.
I got to say, like, one of the more fun ones mm-hmm. that really surprised me actually was Howard the Duck in Guardians of the Galaxy, simply for the fact that I never thought Marvel would ever touch Howard the Duck after the disaster that was the George Lucas movie.
Yeah.
And so even though he's only in an Easter egg scene, to me, I think that's a really like cool moment.
Can I ask you a question about
sure.
The Collector? In that scene, there is a dude with a long red cape that for a long time people thought was Thor. And there's a school of thought that that's Beta Ray Bill. And I know you're a Beta Ray Bill fan. I wondered if you ascribed to that. You only see him in a panning shot. I think it's either right before or right after you see Cosmo.
I honestly don't know if I could tell you what the hell is in there.
Oh, if you're looking for a picture, I would literally search like Beta Ray Bill Guardians of the Galaxy. Because it's the back of a blonde head and it's a long red mm-hmm. cape. And so before we knew what the next Thor movie was, like I said, a lot of people thought that it was gonna he was gonna wind up having been a
Well, Beta Ray Bill is actually in oh, I see the pictures now.
Yeah. I mean it's very
you know, I would go, I'm looking at this picture. I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
But Beta Ray Bill's face, remember, was on the Tower of Sakaar.
Yep, it's awful.
On the Grandmaster.
It's just awful.
Which is really cool. And I actually was really hoping we were going to see Beta Ray Bill in Thor Ragnarok. So,
I'm actually kind of surprised that we didn't.
Me too.
To be honest.
Me too. Another reference that I love, another comic reference I love is in Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a flashback scene to where Clark is getting the crap beat out of him. He's getting crap beat out of him by Kenny Braverman. Kenny Braverman yeah. is Conduit in the Superman comic books. That is the guy that figures out Clark Kent's identity. He's yellow. He's black. He's all this stuff like that. He's one of my favorite Superman villains. He's a villain that I think Supergirl needs to use. And also, they're outside the garage of Sullivan's Garage, which is a reference to Chloe Sullivan from Smallville.
Yeah, I have a laundry list of villains that I think Supergirl should use.
Go for it.
Well, the number one is Rampage, and I can't believe that we haven't seen her.
Who's Rampage?
Rampage, her name is Dr. Kitty Faulkner. She is a scientist who, depending on the continuity you're reading, through experimentation, decides she wants metahuman powers, and she literally hulks out.
Sure.
And she goes from like this petite redheaded white lady to a giant hulky yellow lady with a red mohawk. And she's very, very strong and can beat the crap out of Supergirl.
Yeah.
And she's appeared in most modern Supergirl stories.
Yeah.
She's appeared in a lot of the digital comics. She just showed up in the recent DC Superhero Girls collection.
Oh, cool.
And I think that would be a great way to like balance the idea of like what is femininity. So she's always the one, like when I think of characters that you could use on Supergirl, I'm like, why not her? Why not bring Bizarro Girl back? Like, I feel like Supergirl does a really good job at picking Superman villains instead of picking like cool Supergirl villains. And there actually are a few of them.
Yeah, but there are a lot of cool Superman villains that even Superman in the comic books isn't doing anything with. And to be honest with you, to me...
Yeah, but like, is Music Meister one of them?
No. Music Meister is an invention of Batman Brave and the Bold, the cartoon show.
Yeah.
But I think it's a similar aspect to the way Daredevil grabbed the Kingpin from Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And also, I would say the same way how Nightwing grabs some of Batman's villains.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain Superman villains that would work better as a Supergirl villain, but I also agree with you that like every hero needs their own rogues gallery. It's like one of my biggest complaints about Nightwing is that Nightwing doesn't have a great rogues gallery.
I mean, it's pretty much Blockbuster and a bunch of mediocre people who became his friends in one of the recent Rebirth arcs.
And then Deathstroke.
Yeah, Deathstroke, yeah.
You know, and then maybe Raptor. I would put Raptor in there. I like Raptor.
I think more people now think of Deathstroke as an Arrow villain.
Yes.
But that's just because of the television
sure,
show.
Sure, sure, sure. But I mean, like, if you go look at all
he's the OG Teen Titans villain.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, yeah. And like, as we said in our Geek History lessons, like, yeah, Deathstroke being Green Arrow's villain is a recent thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In fact, he's been, terrorizing Dick Grayson a lot longer than he's been terrorizing Oliver Queen.
For decades, literal
30
decades.
Years.
Yeah.
Over 30 years now.
Yeah.
Just
to diverge completely from comic book Easter eggs.
Yeah, screw it. Screw it. Comic book Easter eggs. Let's talk about villains. Let's talk about bad... The heroes, they don't have good villains. Let's go that way.
Yeah, sure.
Let's just go fucking crazy. I don't care.
Every Batman supporting character has not a great rogues gallery.
I mean, the problem about... The problem with Supergirl, and that's not even in the TV show, it's even in the comics, is the idea of it is hard to come up with a villain that can best a Kryptonian.
But it's also difficult, I think, when your character is designed to be derivative.
Mm-hmm.
Supergirl is an extension of Superman. So a lot of Supergirl characters, even before the television show came along, are derivative. Lena Luthor,
mm-hmm.
Lucy Lane. Like, those are all characters that were created to be part of Supergirl's universe because... God forbid that we, or I guess Rao forbid, that we created
that's correct.
Some original characters for her instead of just copying versions of Superman's characters. Now, I think some of those characters are great and have had some interesting storylines, but I think that that is a problem that these characters fall into, especially the ones that were created around the Silver Age.
Yeah.
Because they were just snapping up properties so that, like, Marvel wouldn't, because Marvel has Wonder Man.
Mm-hmm. Has Wonder Man? What?
Yeah, Marvel has a character called Wonder Man.
Yeah. Well, what does that have to do with snapping up properties?
Well, because Marvel started... Wonder Man was created because DC had Wonder Woman, and
yeah.
So Marvel was like, well, they don't have Wonder Man, so they created Wonder Man to fill that name.
Mm.
In the way that, and then they thought She-Hulk and Spider-Woman, we also have Geek Culture Lessons on them, were only created because they were afraid that DC would create She-Hulk
okay,
and
okay.
Spider-Woman. So there was a big thing in the...
I just didn't have the context of what
you were
talking about.
There was a big
about,
thing in the, so. Sorry, in
Oop,
the 70s of...
my foot.
Not your head.
My foot.
Of snapping up these derivative characters for fear that the competition would, because there were just so many comics being published at the time.
Now I understand. Now I'm on the same track as you. Now I grok what you're saying.
Sorry. Well, I hope people know what grok means.
Who else do you think has really shitty rose galleries that aren't anything about movie Easter eggs?
That aren't a Robin? I think Red Hood. Tim Drake has terrible.
All of the Robins have bad rose galleries.
Yeah. Jason Todd, which is interesting, because Red Hood is in a position where I think Red Hood could have really interesting villains, and he doesn't.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, because he's different than Batman, so you could use him to... He's the most different of all the Robins, because he sort of... He accepts the crusade, but he rejects the morality of it. So you could almost have other vigilantes who are more on the side of what you think of traditionally good morality be his rogues gallery, or mm-hmm. be the people that he comes up against, and you could grow the most away from, like, costumed freaks that we're used to seeing in the Batman universe, but... We mostly just pit him against other guys with guns.
Well, Jason Todd also ends up fighting the Joker a lot.
Yeah. Which I get it.
Yeah.
But, like, it's been 30 years.
Sure.
So.
Again, you and I have had the conversation several times where, like, I'm a big believer of DC freezing the Joker for 5 years.
Oh, I agree, at least, yeah.
Like, let's miss the Joker, because now he's trotted out every year.
It's in a post-Dark Knight world.
Yeah.
That was when the oversaturation began. Because mm-hmm. up to that point, you could still say the Joker is my favorite character, my favorite villain, because of XXXX, and now he's become this thing that our friend Jonathan London from Geekscape says all the time, he's this hot topic hero.
Yeah.
And he's become, in my opinion, an oversaturated, watered-down version of himself.
Yeah. He's not scary anymore.
No.
Because he's always around.
Yeah. You know who else has crap villains? Are the Titans. The Titans have, like, three good, iconic foes.
And Deathstroke?
Deathstroke. I know you don't like these two, but it's Deathstroke, Brother Blood, and Trigun.
I hate Trigun.
But, I mean, there are great stories.
Yeah.
With, and maybe Hive.
I don't like Hive
but
either.
But there are, the OG, like, new Teen Titans stories with all of those that introduced them were interesting. And then we've seen them repeated, or we've seen less good versions of them.
Yeah.
So many times
that
it's tough to, like, not the most recent one that's being published, but the previous Titans Rebirth arc deals with Hive stealing Bumblebee's memory engram, so they have to break into Hive to get it back.
Yep.
And it's like, they were literally doing this when they were 15.
Yeah.
And they're probably supposed to be like 20,
I mean,
but they're like 30 now.
And
so.
Those characters are on the Teen Titans animated series.
Yeah.
They're dumb there. They're dumb in the comic book. There are
Trigun arc in the Teen Titans animated series, the first cartoon, though, was really good.
Sure. but once you initially meet Trigun, he's done.
Yeah.
Trigun is like Doomsday. Once you use him, he's done forever. Never bring him back. But of course, this is comic books, and we always have to bring them back.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what Trigon's whole thing is that I'm going to control Earth.
But he's also another, and I don't think comic books should do this, because I don't think comic books should have a stated religion. And because we have characters of all faiths now in comics.
How do you mean?
So... in DC Comics, in Marvel Comics, there are several personifications of Satan, and it's like Judeo-Christian Satan. I don't think that that should be allowed in comic books, because comic books are supposed to be supposed to be.
Yeah, but you need a devil character.
I don't think you do.
I think you need a devil character.
I don't think you do. And Trigun, to me, is like another derivative of that. And we already have, you know, so like, well, see, I'm not a fan of demons, angels, God, or devils in my comics universe.
Me neither. But I would argue that Trigun being a demon from a different dimension is even though, yes, he is a Satan derivative, but I think the Satan derivative ends with him being red and being a demon.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I don't put together that he's Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Not as bad as Mephisto, which is Marvel's bad one that wipes away Spider-Man's marriage at the drop of a hat.
Right, I would agree with that. And you know? I like tons of magical characters and like characters like I like Constantine.
Yeah.
And I think there's room for that. But I kind of think
Constantine doesn't work unless he can fight the devil.
But that's I don't know if I think Constantine should be in the larger DC universe.
I agree with you. I
think he should live in his little Vertigo sweary bubble.
I miss Hellblazer off by his own, able to be a jackass Constantine.
Yeah. And I don't mind if Satana can like visit him from time to time, but I don't know if I need Constantine in the same world as Batman.
I agree with you.
Even though I have enjoyed stories that they've both been in together.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree with you. Titans have crap villains.
Titans have crap villains.
They have really bad villains.
I mean, Black Lightning has one villain.
Yeah, but that's a different problem. Now you're entering into a different problem.
That's a problem of like publication history.
The difference between that is that Black Lightning has had one solo series.
Yeah.
So of course he's not going to have good villains. Titans have been basically published for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And in 30 years, they have not created a villain better than Destro.
I just think it came to mind because I read year one recently and obviously the show is on the air.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Who do you think has bad villains?
Titans.
They do have really lame villains, guys. Also because 90% of the time, one of them is a traitor.
Captain America has really bad villains.
Yeah, because he's got, like, they're all Nazis.
They're all derivatives of Nazis.
Of Red Skull.
It's basically Red Skull. Like, it's Red Skull.
Baron Zemo
shows up. He has Baron Zemo, he has Arnim Zola here and there, but, like, he has really, and then basically it's, like, organizations that seem like Nazis, so he has, like,
or Hydra.
Here's Hydra, here's Sons of the Serpent, here's the Serpent Society, here's this thing over here, here's AIM, and you're just like, how many secret societies can this guy with the shield fight, guys?
All of them?
He beat the
Nazis. Loves secret societies.
He beat the Nazis.
There's Hammer and Shield. And Sword?
Well, Hammer doesn't exist anymore.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. But there's Shield and Sword.
Sword is a... Is that the one that the green-haired lady runs?
Yes, it's the alien one.
I'm going to be honest. I don't really know where the Marvel continuity began most recently.
Sword is part of Shield.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It's like a section of Shield.
Sure.
Hammer is the organization that replaced Shield.
Sure.
That was ran by Norman Osborn.
Oh, yeah, after a siege.
You know who has, like, one of the best rogues galleries?
Batman?
Yeah. Batman has the best rogues gallery. But I was going to say Spider-Man.
Spider-Man does, but it's the idea of the animal totem.
Yep. That's why all recent Spider-Man villains suck.
And whether or not you ascribe to, like, the tribalism of that, like, him being a spider is, like, of course you would make other animals. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very basic.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would work for Batman, and I'm glad that not all his villains are animal-based. You know, we have a couple.
I mean, he has Orca.
He has Catwoman, who has arguably been a villain.
Poison Ivy?
Not an animal.
She's animal to me, baby.
She's a plant.
She's animal enough to me.
Plants have pheromones, just like people.
She's a human being. She's not a plant.
Says you. She sleeps with her feet in a bunch of dirt at night.
She probably does. Needs it.
Little dirt.
Eats fertilizer.
No, she would just stand out in the sun every morning.
Yeah, and then she eats fertilizer.
Like, no. Like, no. Wally.
I'm going to tell you, you don't want to follow Poison Ivy around that Gotham City dog park. I'm telling you.
You're so disgusting. You're fired.
Batman has really good rogue galleries. I argue that Superman does. It's just people.
I think Superman does.
People forget about Superman's really good villains.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Superman is Brainiac. Superman is Bizarro. I think Bizarro is a really good villain.
I think Bizarro, though, is an easy character to write poorly.
Same with Prankster. Prankster is a great Superman villain, but most people write him crappy. So is Mr. Mixel Spitlick.
Mm.
Is a great,
I don't agree with that.
He's a great Superman villain, but people write him badly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of some other people's. Green Lantern has pretty good rogues, but when you can bring in like any alien ever, it becomes pretty easy.
Yeah, and I mean Sinestro will always be the king of that.
Sure, you know, but now Green Lantern has like all the different cores, which are his enemies and stuff like that, and Green Lantern has Krona. which is a big dog. You know, any cosmic entity ever could be considered a Green Lantern villain.
Yeah.
Flash, I think, has bad villains.
Flash does have bad villains.
I don't like the Rogues. I like them on the TV show.
I think there's been like a couple good Rogues, and I liked Rogue War. We reviewed that ages ago for the podcast.
We did.
I thought that was a great execution of like that collection of characters as villains. But I think you can tell from the TV show that Flash doesn't always have great villains.
Yeah, the problem is...
Also, when it always comes down to a foot race, it's like, okay, well, how many times can you run in a circle to save the day?
Or how many times can you run faster than the other guy to win?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gets pretty boring.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad thing about, to me, where I think most the best Flash villains are other speedsters.
Yeah.
But it shows in the show where you're like, oh, you can't do that. But again, with the Rogues, the problem I've always had with the Rogues is, like, how does Flash not just beat these guys?
Yeah, instantly.
In seconds.
Well, I think, and I think people are going to say that this is heresy, but, like, I think Flash is a better supporting character than a leading character.
Heresy, Ashley.
I know. But I do. I think that.
Yeah.
You know who else has bad villains?
Wonder Woman.
Aquaman. Wonder Woman has shit villains.
She is terrible. You want to talk about Supergirl? Wonder Woman has god-awful villains.
Yeah, because, like, 90% of Wonder Woman's villains are, like, self-doubt or a god.
Well, it's Ares.
Yeah.
It's like Ares and Cheetah.
Yeah.
And then Cersei sometimes.
I hate Cersei.
Yeah, it's Cersei. But
do you know how there's been like six cheetahs?
I know, and it's stupid because every version of Cheetah is dumb.
Yeah.
I hate Cheetah. Although I will say this, and I do think that Wonder Woman's villain should be mythological.
I agree.
But I've always wondered, like, why don't they have Wonder Woman fight other
mythologies?
Other mythologies. Like, why isn't she facing down with Anubis?
Yeah. Or Vishnu.
Or
with
Bast.
Like six arms. Yeah.
Where's Bast at?
Bast is turning Halle Berry into Catwoman.
That's true, but Wonder Woman should punch that cat in the face.
She should punch that movie in the face.
You know, Anubis is like this giant, like, or like, what's the god that has an eagle head?
The Egyptian god?
Yeah.
Horus.
Yeah. Wonder Woman versus Horus. Where's that at?
Well, Horus is a good guy.
Not to Wonder Woman.
Horus is like their Zeus. He's actually more like their
Not
Jesus,
to Wonder Woman.
But
it should just be like, Horus is like, look, I'm going to lay a giant egg in the middle of Paris. And Wonder Woman's like, to hell, I say, kasmackety.
But Jason, boys don't lay eggs.
Huh?
Boys don't lay eggs.
Boy gods do.
Boy gods do?
Yeah, boy god birds.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Does he have a lady part?
Yeah, he's a god.
I guess birds don't have genitals, so
look,
it doesn't matter.
Don't be so single-dimensional, Ashley, okay? Open your mind.
I don't know.
That's the thing we're going to learn about this podcast. All right, this podcast went way off the rails, but I don't care. It was fun. Ashley, as we end every Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures, what are you reading right now?
Right now I'm reading a lot of stuff that I'm reviewing for the DC Comics site, which will probably all be up by the time this podcast airs.
Exactly. I don't know when I'm going to release this.
I'm about to start the first volume of the new collection of the Peter David Aquaman run.
But what have you read?
I literally this morning finished the recent DC Superhero Girls Date with Disaster.
Okay.
Which was very cute. And has Catwoman and Lois Lane in it. And Ron Troop, who I only know about because of Jason.
Ron Troop's awesome. Do you like Ron Troop now?
I mean, I never didn't like him. He's really cute.
I think he did.
Perry White is... No, Perry White is not in town for some reason. So, like, 16-year-old Ronald Troop is in charge of the Daily Planet. And Jimmy keeps...
No old fuddy duddy's going to be in my young book.
Super cute. And Jimmy keeps sneaking away to become Giant Turtle Boy.
I love it.
And so Lois does his job better, so Ron hires her. And then Perry just comes back and, like, Lois is in the office. And
is Perry an old man?
He is an old man.
Great.
He kind of looks like Cardiangelo, actually.
You have to explain who Cardiangelo is to the listeners.
Cardiangelo is the owner of Earth 2 Comics franchise in Los Angeles, California, along with Jeff Johns. And he's a good friend of ours. But hilariously, Perry White looks like him. And then he comes back and he's like, who are you? And she's like, I'm Lois Lane and I work here. It's great.
That's very Lois Lane.
Yeah. So that's what I read recently. What did you read?
I just finished Jeff Lemire's Essex County.
I love that book.
I liked it.
What did you learn about Canada?
Nothing. You guys like hockey a lot. According to that book, it's a lot of hockey and birds. It's hockey and birds.
It's true.
It's look, if that book taught me anything, like, the national language of Canada is hockey.
That's true.
It's nothing else, because every character in that book watches the hockey game.
I feel like it's a very sad book, too.
It is a very sad book. I liked it. It didn't knock my socks off like other Jeff Lemire books have done, but I see I see why it got him noticed.
You see the flash of brilliance?
I don't know if I say flash of brilliance. I do feel that that's, I do feel that's very biographical. Like, I feel that, like, I feel he knows these people.
Yeah. Like, that's what I liked about, they are all real people.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And having, I grew up for part of my childhood in Essex County.
Sure.
When I read that book, I was like, oh, I definitely know all these of people. These people. Yeah.
Well, I think the boy, the little boy, the book starts off with a little boy. I think that's Jeff Lemire. I think that's a literal, I think that's his, a real story. I bet you he had a time in his life where he wore superhero clothes.
I agree.
All
I
the
definitely
time.
Agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if his mom died and he had to live with his uncle or do any of that stuff or feed chickens. I don't know about that. but I think that he suffered or whatever. But I enjoyed it. I do think I like other Jeff Lemire books better.
That's fine.
So,
that's
but Essex County, it's a fun time. So there you go.
Cool.
Now we're at the point of the podcast where Jason, me, that's me, doesn't know how to end this show.
Yeah, like every time.
Like every time. You know, I feel... We talk about this every time. I feel that we had a way to end this, and then we've forgotten it.
Yeah.
Like, we had a catchphrase. And please, dear God, patrons, tell us.
I don't know. It'd be excellent.
You know, here's a fun thing that we should talk about.
Okay.
Ashley and I recently have been devouring this podcast called Hello from the Magic Tavern. It's a comedy podcast about a man who's trapped in a mystical world.
Yeah.
And it has been sparking ideas in our heads to do something like that, to do like a funny narrative kind of podcaster or something like that.
Yeah.
So if you have any ideas, give them for free. No, if, you know, I don't know. Like, I'd just be curious, like, if people, you know, are,
would be into that.
Would be into something like a narrative thing. Like, again, this is way down the road. This is way down the road because I got to start this writing podcast now.
Yeah.
Got to figure that out.
If the Patreon sustains it.
It did.
Good.
It is. I think we're a little bit up because all the good people that are listening to this podcast, we're up there now.
I don't know. I haven't looked at it in a minute. Jason's in charge of the Patreon. It might surprise everybody to learn that.
So it's going
to
take me a little bit.
Yeah.
Put a little thing. It's going to take me a little bit because I got to... I have an idea of how I want to do it, so I got to do a pilot episode, and then I got to book some people, and I don't want to release it until I have a surplus.
Yeah, I think that's smart.
But I will say, like, and I'm going to do a Patreon post in text about this, so I, by the time you hear this recording, it might be, this might be old news. You know, I want to release it, like, at least twice a month, and then the episodes... The full episodes will be only for Patreon, and then I'm going to put a snippet out into the world.
Just to entice more nerds to come listen.
Yeah, just on YouTube. So this will only be for you guys at first. And then eventually the plan is that maybe 6 months to a year down the road, then I put it all on iTunes.
Yeah.
So you guys will get the podcast first. And yeah, because I want to make sure it's good and I want to make sure there's a surplus and I want to make sure that, yeah. Like, I don't want to constantly be scrambling for a guest. It's basically what I'm saying. So, like, be patient. It'll be coming. But if you want it to be good, I got to work on it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go.
How do we end this podcast?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't even know that's being picked up.
I don't know
microphone.
Either. There's, like, no little sound wave. I hope people just might... got, like, 5 seconds of silence.
Because of the noise filter?
Yeah. I hope your noise filter was like, that's obviously some dumbass car on the freeway.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, that's it. Thank you so much for your support. It really means a lot. And seeing the increase of new patrons means a big deal. Upwards and onwards. It's what we say, and thank you so much. It really, really means a lot, and we hope you enjoy our weird ramblings, because this is the Weird Ramblings podcast, obviously.
Yeah, this is a little bit more.
We should just call it. Are we gonna rename it Weird Ramblings?
I don't know, Mr. Producer, or are we going to rename it?
No, it's too difficult.
I think you get a little bit better sense of what we're actually like in this podcast.
Sure. Yep.
Because we're not reading notes.
Ashley, how do we end this podcast?
Be safe and make good choices.
We gotta say our names.
I'm Ashley, and he's Jason, but you already knew that.
Bye.